everyone, welcome to Cleaver Fulton Rankin's Employment Law Podcast Series. I'm Suzanne Keenan, I'm a director in the employment law team. I'm joined today by my colleague Jenny Rankin, a solicitor in the employment team. Hi Jenny.
Hi Suzanne, lovely to be here with you.
So today we're discussing a really interesting area that you're seeing, I'm sure, a lot of in the media at the moment. It's about menopause in the workplace. So Jenny and myself, we thought we'd come on and discuss some of the key considerations about menopause in the workplace, which you as employers will want to be aware of. What we're being asked again and again by clients at the moment is whether or not there's benefits in having a menopause policy. So we're going to discuss a bit about menopause, the symptoms, how it's applicable to you as a business and an employer. We're going to cover off the benefits of a menopause policy and whether or not you're legally required to have one. We're also going to discuss health and safety considerations in relation to menopausal symptoms, as well as employment law considerations and some recent case law in the area. So firstly, you know, we recognise as employment lawyers that menopause affects women. It also affects trans men who suffer menopausal symptoms, as well as non-binary individuals. So if we do at any point during the podcast refer to women, we of course include as well anyone else affected by menopause. We do regularly try to use the language affected employees, but in case we say women, you'll know that we also mean those other individuals affected by menopause. So ultimately, menopause happens between the age of 45 and 55. However, I'm sure as many of you know, it also can affect younger individuals or people over that age. The symptoms include often physical, psychological, and emotional symptoms. And more commonly, the symptoms are hot flushes, sleep disturbance, mood changes, poor concentration, headaches, and muscle and joint pains. The menopause can also cause depression and anxiety. So these are things that will impact the individual in terms of their work. Is that fair, Jenny?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So just to discuss a little bit about whether there is a legal requirement to have a menopausal policy in your workplace. At the date of this podcast, there isn't in the UK a legal requirement. However, as menopause will affect almost 50% of the current workforce across the country, we would recommend highly to all of our clients that a menopause policy is put in place to make sure that you're demonstrating that you are a responsible employer, that you're facilitating your employees' needs. And ultimately, there are so many benefits of having a menopause policy in place. It reduces the risks of potential claims at the tribunal of discrimination on the basis of sex or age. It also increases staff retention and increases productivity within the workplace, because if your employees are happy and content and feel supported and that their needs are addressed, they're more likely to put more into their daily working life. We would highly recommend to all our clients to have one in place, and if it's something that you are considering as an employer, we would be delighted to help you develop a policy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really hits the nail on the head in terms of the benefits of it. You know, it's really that go-to guide, I think, for employers to have something to consult when it comes to these types of issues. Because I think a lot of the time, you know, obviously there's no one-size-fits-all menopause, and it affects individuals in different ways. Some people can have more significant symptoms than others, but at least if you kind of have that roadmap in your policy to trigger your thought processes around, you know, things like risk assessments and, you know, adjustments, that in and of itself is such a helpful sort of toolkit there to kind of work your way through. And it also helps you sort of be more conscious of menopause as something that affects individuals whenever you have that policy clearly in a handbook. I don't know that it's enough to just slap the policy into the handbook. You know, we've recommended that you consider at the time you're introducing it, you know, a very short, doesn't need to be long, but a very short training session on menopause and how it affects people, so that your wider staff, including your managers, and so, you know, superiors who are managing individuals under them who may be affected, are switched on to this and are aware how it can affect their employees and who are then going and consulting the policy and properly applying it. I suppose then that brings us on to kind of some of the implications in the workforce in relation to menopause. So I think you had some points, some interesting points, Jenny, around sort of before I suppose we get to employment law, which is the obvious connection, you had some points around health and safety in the workplace when it comes to menopause.
Yes, absolutely. There, you know, as an employer, you have a duty of care to your employees under health and safety legislation, and it's important to carry out a robust risk assessment in the workplace to ensure that anyone who is affected by the menopause is supported, and that any adjustments that need to be made to make sure that they can perform their duties to the best of their ability is put in place. So this could include checking the temperature within the workplace to ensure that it's comfortable, making sure that there are appropriate restroom facilities, and really just identifying if there's anything else that you can do to support employees.
And I think some employers have some experience of risk assessments in relation to pregnant employees, and most employers will conduct a risk assessment when they become aware an employee is pregnant. But yeah, it's the same thing again. It's that sort of identifying and minimising risks from a health and safety perspective to make sure that the environment the individual's in is not exacerbating their symptoms or making it difficult for them to do their job. The temperature one is an obvious one, because one of the main symptoms can be hot flushes. So things like a desk fan or something like that are ensuring there's appropriate ventilation. There's also obviously then the employment law considerations, which is obviously Jenny and I's specialty. Jenny mentioned earlier about claims around gender or age discrimination. There's also disability discrimination that can potentially be linked to menopause symptoms. Depending upon the significance of the symptoms and how substantial and long-term they are, the employee may well fall under the Disability Discrimination Act 1995, which that act then puts onus on the employer to facilitate reasonable adjustments. There was actually a recent case about this, Davies versus the Scottish Courts and Tribunal Service in 2018, where a woman with menopause was deemed to be disabled under the Act. And as a result, she had sought reasonable adjustments from her employer, including being located close to a toilet and having access to cold water on her desk for taking medication. The employer didn't consider the adjustments, and she was successful in a claim for failure to make reasonable adjustments against the employer. So it is important to be mindful that someone with significant and long-term menopause symptoms may well trigger the disability legislation. So that's why that would be relevant, and something you need to be very switched on to. There was another case, I think, Jenny, you had mentioned about, I suppose, specifically connecting it to the sex discrimination or unfair dismissal route.
Yes, this was a case actually from 2012, Merchant and BT PLC. And in this case, the employee was dismissed following a final warning for poor performance. However, because her employer failed to consider making any reasonable adjustments for the fact that she was going through the menopause, the tribunal upheld her claim of direct sex discrimination and unfair dismissal.
Yes, I think in that case it was her level of concentration was affected by her menopause symptoms, and they hadn't conducted any further investigation into that whenever she put that claim as part of the performance management process. And I think ultimately what the tribunal found was that it was an approach that they wouldn't have taken with other non-female related conditions, which is what triggered the gender discrimination, the sex discrimination point. There's lots and lots. I mean, we've touched on two. There's a plethora of case law out there that connects to menopausal symptoms. And we've actually put together, Jenny and myself, a bit of a toolkit again of things to be conscious of in terms of your best ways as an employer to mitigate the risks, but also ensure that you are doing your bit as an employer to support these individuals, because, you know, claims is one thing, but you know, employers more now than ever recognise that whenever employees are properly supported in relation to medical issues and things like menopause, you know, they get more out of their workforce. They have better staff retention, they have better productivity, you know, there's a good atmosphere, and you know, they really do get the best out of their people. So, you know, it's not just avoiding claims, which is one part of it. It is as well being ahead of the curve and being a progressive and inclusive employer to look at these things. It may well in years to come become a legal requirement. I know it's being discussed about whether or not it should become a legal requirement to have a menopause policy. But you know, we're saying to our clients, look, you know, be one step ahead of the curve here, you know, consider this now and put it in place, because it will, you know, will have a number of benefits for you. And and also, you know, touch base with your legal team. You know, don't sort of be stuck with the policy and go, oh, this is unusual and I'm not quite sure where this fits or what to do. And, you know, that's where, you know, if you have a good legal team in place, you lift the phone or you drop an email to say, this is the position, what should I do? Because there are certain circumstances where there's a benefit to getting independent medical evidence or getting an occupational health report in relation to the individual symptoms and see what you can do from that.
Absolutely. And I think as well, it's important that if you do have a menopause policy in place, that your management team and all of your senior members of staff are aware of it and aware of its contents, and that it's applied fairly and consistently to all of your employees.
Exactly. I think that's quite right. And that's where your training will come in as well. Okay, so I think that, I suppose, wraps up this session on the topic of menopause in the workplace. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. As I covered earlier, the toolkit that Jenny and I have worked on can be found within our blog, which covers this area, which you can find on the link provided.
And please keep an eye out for our next podcast, which will be on sexual harassment in the workplace. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.